This is a podcast from the University of Manchester's Jodrell Bank Centre for Astrophysics. For more information, see jodcast.net.
I've just been in the session Massive Stars from the Milky Way to Beyond the Local Group, and talking in that session was Dr. Ben Davies from the University of Cambridge. You were talking on red supergiants as cosmic abundance probes. So hello and welcome to the Jodcast.
Hello, thanks.
First of all, we'd like to start off with, what is a red supergiant?
So a red supergiant is a star that begins its life about 8 times more massive than the Sun, a bit more than that. And once it's done hydrogen burning in its core, it puffs up to about the size of Jupiter's radius and becomes about a million times brighter than the Sun.
That's a very, very big star then, and very, very luminous. Mm-hmm. And how do you use these to probe cosmic abundances?
Well, because they're so bright, you can see them at extragalactic distances of millions of light years, you look at their spectra, you see absorption lines, and these absorption lines are due to metals such as iron, oxygen, silicon, and basically just by measuring how strong those lines are, you can tell how much of that element there is. So if you see lots of iron absorption, you know the star's got lots of iron in it, and then that tells you about the chemical abundances of the host galaxy.
So these stars are just one part of the galaxy. Do you have to look at lots of stars to get an idea of the chemical abundance of each galaxy, or can you tell it from just one star?
Well, one star gives you a good idea, but over an entire galaxy you expect the abundances to vary. For example, in regions where you have high star formation rates, you produce more metals, and those metals get imprinted in the stars. So the idea is to do lots of stars and then effectively make a chemical abundance map of the whole galaxy.
So if you want to look at spectra, that involves quite a lot of telescope time.
Yeah.
And surely to see one of these objects, especially in different galaxies, that's going to require an awful lot of telescope time. Can you tell us how you can... Is there a way to speed this up, or do you actually just need to have days and days of big, big telescopes?
Well, you can speed it up by being a bit choosy about which parts of the spectrum you look at. So if you look at one particular part of the spectrum, you might see lots and lots of lines and they're all overlapping and it's a big mess, and so there's nothing you can do really. But if you look at another region of the spectrum, you might see a smaller number of lines that are well separated, and so you don't have to disperse the light quite as much, and because you're not spreading it as thinly, you don't need to observe it for quite as long to get the signal that you're looking for.
And how many objects have you managed to look at, and how many different galaxies have you managed to look at so far?
Well, we're in the early stages right now. So at the moment, we've looked at our galaxy and the two nearest ones, the Large and Small Magellanic Clouds. But we are at the stage where we're going to start doing things that are a bit further away, which coincides with the new piece of kit that's going on the big telescope in Chile, where we'll be able to do not one star at once, but 20 odd all at the same time.
Oh, so wow, so you can get lots and lots and lots of stars, and then you can get an idea of the chemical abundances as you go back in time. Is that the idea? So if you look to further redshifts or further away, the stars will have gone through less cycles and births and deaths, and so there'll be less elements. Is that what you're trying to probe?
Yeah, that's roughly it. Not so much with going back in time, but with galaxy mass. So a very massive galaxy has higher abundances than a lower massive galaxy, and this is due to in a very low mass galaxy, a supernova, which is producing all these heavy elements. When it goes off, it blows all those heavy elements out of the galaxy, and that never finds its way into the next generation of stars. So you see this relationship between how massive a galaxy is and its metal content, and that's what we're probing.
So the moment you've looked at the Milky Way, and then you looked at the LMC, which is a bit smaller than the Milky Way, and then the SMC, which is even smaller,
yeah.
Are you seeing what you're expected to see?
Yes, we are, which is good news. But at the moment, we're doing it on objects where we kind of know what the answer is going to be, just to test everything's working. And the next phase, we will start to reach out to less well-studied objects, and that's where we're going to really start to earn our money.
And is this quite a very good relationship between the mass of a host galaxy and the metallicity of the galaxy?
What do you mean by good?
Well,
It's all right.
So there's quite a lot of variables that we don't really know about yet, so we need to actually get a constraint.
That's right, yeah. So the problem that exists so far is we know this relationship exists, but we don't know precisely what it is, because we know one galaxy is more metal rich than another one, but we don't know absolutely what that scale is. And so our goal is to measure that scale absolutely.
Well, thank you very much for being on the Jodcast.
Oh,
I wish you lots of time in the future on telescopes so you can get all these spectra, and good luck.
Yep, thanks very much for having me.
Thank you.